It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
How about some answers, Mr. Paulson?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Recession, not a recession. Markets up, markets down. Real estate in shambles or not? With the tone of the news we're hearing day in and day out about the economy, it is hard to know what to think. Today, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson talks to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce about the state of the economy. Will he have some insight? Lisa Roth reports.
Originally, Paulson was supposed to present a new plan to remodel the economy and the banking regulation system. But there's too much else going on. His office says the new plan's off today's agenda.
So I think he'll talk a lot about the housing crisis and a lot about the mortgage markets and not so much about the overall economy.
Ann Mathias directs policy research at the Stanford Group. She expects Paulson to do some ministering, too.
He's pretty conscious and sensitive to the fact that a lot of what has been happening is psychological, so he may try to be reassuring.
The Chamber of Commerce is, of course, all businessy types, so Mathias says Paulson will probably give a more nuanced, detailed speech than he might if he were talking to you or me. And Mathias says we might even get some politics. Paulson could take this opportunity to comment on proposed fixes from presidential candidates Clinton and McCain. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The markets took a hit yesterday after we learned consumer confidence hit a five-year low. But the numbers were still mostly higher at the end of the day. The Dow lost just a tenth of a percentage point to 12,532. The Nasdaq added 14 points, closing at 2341. The S&P 500 picked up 3 to 1352. Trading in Europe is mixed so far. The Nikkei was down. The credit crunch could be tuning out yet another big buyout. Trouble around the $20 billion leveraged buyout of Clear Channel is getting louder. Reports say banks are more and more reluctant to provide financing. Hillary Clinton has a suggestion for the mortgage crisis. Bring in the likes of former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin and old Fed Chief Alan Greenspan to take a shot at the problem. This week, Clinton proposed a high-level emergency working group to take a look at solutions. Of course, luminaries like Greenspan are favorite targets of the naysayers. But commentator Will Wilkinson says Monday morning quarterbacks miss the real game.
What we all really want to know about the economy is who's to blame? Many people point the finger at former Fed Chief Alan Greenspan, the maestro himself. He kept interest rates low and encouraged techniques to make mortgages accessible to more people. By doing so, the argument goes, Greenspan practically blew the housing bubble with his own breath and should have seen it coming. One financial analyst has created a blog devoted exclusively to blaming Greenspan. It's called The Mess That Greenspan Made. But Monday morning quarterbacking is a bit too easy, isn't it? If Greenspan really should have seen it all coming, shouldn't Wall Street have seen it coming too? But instead of getting rich from their foresight, they got crushed under their collateralized debt obligations. Meanwhile, Greenspan's successor, Ben Bernanke, has slashed interest rates to stave off recession. He's extended massive lines of Fed credit to prop up major banking houses. One would like to see sound, time-worn principles of central bank management here, but it looks like a free-form jazz odyssey to me. Which is to say, it's Sunday now, too early to tell if Bernanke's a genius or a fool, but the Monday morning quarterbacks are already warming up their typing fingers. Maybe Bernanke's easy monetary policy delays rather than accelerates the economy's readjustment. Maybe the Fed's Wall Street rescue encourages the idea that no risk is too big and sets us up for the next disaster. The problem here isn't that the guy in charge isn't smart enough. The problem is that there's a guy in charge at all. We've put a central planner at the beating heart of our market system, but we've known for decades that central planners rarely have the information they need or the incentive to use it correctly. If it all goes wrong for Bernanke, just remember, the problem isn't the quarterback. It's the rules of the game.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Oil prices are back up to around $102 a barrel today. That consumer confidence number from yesterday, along with reports on falling home prices, are helping drive the dollar down. And that, in turn, is fueling oil prices. Talking about gas prices the other day with friends led to a conversation about that documentary from a couple years back, Who Killed the Electric Car? If you're a fan of the flick, you may be interested in what's happening today in Sacramento. Electric vehicle activists, including former CIA Director James Woolsey, will urge California regulators to revive the state's once groundbreaking zero emissions vehicle program. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner has more.
At one time, California had the toughest electric vehicle mandate in the country. It wanted 10% EVs by 2003. But the state backed away from its aggressive demands under pressure from the auto industry. The film Who Killed the Electric Car blamed the California Air Resources Board in part for the car's demise. Tomorrow, that same state board, known as CARB, will update what's left of California's zero emissions program. Chelsea Sexton is an activist featured in the 2006 documentary.
And I would love to see CARB step up and decide to lead this again. We led once, we kind of gave it away, and we could certainly take it back.
Few, however, expect California to reinstate its original electric vehicle mandate. In fact, CARB's staff is recommending a stronger focus on hybrids and other alternative vehicles. That may cost them the good guy role in a planned sequel to the 2006 film. Working title, Who Saved the Electric Car? I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Elsewhere in California today, the talk will be about cruising outer space. An aerospace company called X-Corps is expected to announce it's entering the space tourism industry. The company's spaceship is called the Lynx and can take off from a runway like any normal plane. Unlike a normal plane, though, this two-seater can reach altitudes almost 40 miles above the Earth. So, some more competition for Sir Richard Branson. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.